The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stanbury, star of The Real Housewives of Dubai, entrepreneur, wife, and mother of three, once divorced and now remarried to a much younger man. Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury follows me as I live my life unapologetically and shows you that there is life after 40. I'm here to let you know that not only is there a life after divorce, but you have the power to make it your best one yet, just like I did. So buckle up and join me for the wild ride. So welcome back to another episode of Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury. And today I am joined by Frankie Lee, the founder of ContentRemoval.com and fellow podcaster. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for coming around. Let's get this done. Yeah.
You're one of the few men I've had on, actually.
Oh, really?
But I'm fascinated. So content removal, this is why I brought you on, because I actually think with today's world and men, women, families, AI coming, all of these kind of things, the sort of internet and the web is a very scary place to be. And you and I talked earlier about things like OnlyFans, and there are mistakes that young girls make and people make very early on in their careers, regret. And everyone goes, don't do that. It lives there. You know, personal brands are ruined, families are ruined. Tell me about how you came up with this, because actually I didn't even know you could remove content, because I thought it just got pushed down the pages of Google.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a bit of an overview of how I came into it before we start, and then we can talk about how people can get over it. Essentially, I was working at a reputation management company at the time, and they were selling like review removal and all this kind of, not review removal, but review push downs and all this kind of stuff. And whilst I was there, I realized that sales was a skill that was going to take me away from, you know, take me further in life. And as a sales guy, if I'm just selling $1,500 deals every day, it's going to take me a long time to get at 10% of time where I wanted to go to. So I had the idea within that company that we shouldn't do reputation management for these smaller businesses. We should do reputation management for big businesses and celebrities, because they've got more problems and larger capital. So I went down the point of signing all these, quite a few celebrity clients at the time, quite a few big businesses. And when I was on a call one day with one of these big businesses, they were saying, Frankie, like, we're paying you all this money. We're pushing it down. They gave me the analogy of the plumber. If we're pushing down content all the time, it's like it just comes back up, and we have to pay you more money. Can't we just remove it? And I went off that call and I was thinking, because obviously this is now a sales objection. The sales objection is they're saying you're pushing it down. It's never ending. They want to remove it. And I thought content removal is a thing. And I went on to GoDaddy at the time and bought the name contentremoval.com. And I didn't know how to remove content. Fast forward down the track, a few months go by, I'm not happy in this sales role because I'm not earning the money that I need to earn. So I break away from this reputation management company, and I'm sat there on my hands for 2 or 3 weeks thinking, what am I going to do with myself? And I get a call from one of these celebrity clients that I haven't signed, and they were talking to me about reputation management. And I said, what about content removal? And I sold the idea to them of content removal, bearing in mind I didn't have an idea at this particular time how to remove content. But what I realized there is I sold a big contract to them on content removal, and then I figured out on the back end how to remove content. Now, at this time, serendipiously,
quite a dangerous way to go about it.
It's a dangerous way to go about it.
I wouldn't suggest everyone goes out there, sells their ideas before they know how to actually do it.
but serendipiously, whilst this was happening, whilst I've sold this idea, I've got this girlfriend in England, a girl that's a friend in England, and she's come to me and she said, hey, you're in reputation management. I've got a problem. Me and these other two girls have had our nudes shared online. And I was like, perfect. These can be the case studies for us to remove content for. So I went and managed to remove this revenge porn at the time from this anon.ib website, and that became the start of learning to remove content. And then from then on in, I became the expert at removing online content for these people. And it was just all by trial and error. And I'd learned it pretty much inside out within 2, 3, 4 months, and was removing it and then signed more celebrities from there. So that's kind of how I first came into content removal. Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, the web can be a great place for networking and everything else, and it can also be a very scary place. How do we protect ourselves and our images? I mean, obviously I'm in the public eye. But actually, you know, this is interesting for mums, people with young kids. Once your image is online and, you know, things are taken from you and it can be used, you know, is there a way to protect ourselves, or is it just, you know, are we always going to have to look for people like yourself?
Well, I want to start it with this. If a piece of content has been put online by someone else, then there's always someone else or a platform that can remove that piece of content. So in my opinion, with online content, every piece that's been put out online can be removed. But the caveat is, can you get it removed? And that is the hard part, because it's the differences between certain platforms and getting it removed from a server in Azerbaijan, for argument's sake, compared to a Facebook is different. So there can be poles apart on how hard it is for people to get things removed. I just want people to understand, though, because certain people in your audience may be facing this right now.
Yeah.
To give people peace of mind, I believe that 90% of the content that people will face, images, videos, search results, that are listening to this podcast right now, can be potentially removed.
I mean, how long is a piece of string? Is that like you have to have millions in the bank? Like, how do you pay for something like that? Because there seems to be, you know, there is a general consensus that it can't be removed.
Yeah.
That once it's out there, it lives on the, whatever you call it, the cloud or whatever it is. I don't understand enough. Forever. And your life is fucked. And you're saying it's not.
Well, I'm saying that, in my opinion, that every piece of content out there on the internet can be removed by somebody because it's been put there by somebody.
Are you saying, so you do a deal with that person? Is it a human you're doing deals with, or you are?
So reputation management at the type of level that I deal mm-hmm. with at, where we're talking about removing content, we might have to pay certain platforms to remove it. We might have to go in and we might have to read through the terms and see how they're convening the terms to see how we can remove it. We might have to place legal applications to remove content. There's a whole spectrum of ways that can remove content. But I think what a lot of your audience will be facing is like impersonation accounts on Instagram. They may be getting impersonated.
Oh my God. So many people set up, take your pictures and do Instagram accounts.
So essentially what you're looking at here is most of the platforms, they cover you for impersonation. They cover you for copyright. They cover you for defamation. So there's things within the platform's terms that allow most people that are listening to this to remove the kind of content that they face. So images, videos, search results.
No, but all that happens is that, you know, you remove it and then another one pops up.
Potentially. But in 9 out of 10 cases, there won't. If you start with 10 impersonation accounts mm-hmm. on your personal brand, mm-hmm. for argument's sake, and we started with 10, there was 10 today. Obviously, you're a person of noteworthy influence. So yeah, you're probably going to likely be impersonated again. But if you start today with 10, of course, there may be 5 pop up next week, but there's not likely going to be 10 pop up next week. And it's just a case of staying on top of removing it. Once you get a process in-house, out-of-house to remove content on a consistent basis, you can maintain on top of it. The problem is with someone like yourself, if you get impersonated online and then they're contacting your followers and they're selling your followers dodgy products or ripping off, it hurts your reputation as a brand. A lot of celebrities like yourself or people that have got massive entrepreneurial businesses, they have to protect themselves online, because if they don't, the culmination from that of what happens to them is worse.
Let's take a little break from the show and talk about something in today's world that is so important to know about. This is something that I've used that I can't recommend enough for other people, especially for people like myself or with children, businesses, anyone really, everyone needs to have something like this, because who doesn't in today's day and age know somebody that's been victim of identity theft, harassed, scammed, or simply annoyed by spam and robocalls? You know, privacy is so important today, and it's so hard to maintain. Our information is literally everywhere on the internet, and we're such easy targets, but we can protect ourselves and get peace of mind with Delete Me. You know, as I said, I'm a famous person, so everything about me, my family, where we live is online. You know, could your political views make you a target of cyber crimes, identity theft and violence? You know, lots of things open you up to this. And the volume of our personal data that is available online has tripled between 2019 and 2023. The good news is you can protect yourself with Delete Me. I mean, would you like to wake up and discover your bank account's been emptied? I mean, it happens to more people than we think. Or you get overdue notices for credit cards you never applied for, or you didn't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet, and how susceptible you and your family are to the theft and fraud. But now you can remove your data with Delete Me. So as a person who exists publicly, especially as someone shares my opinions online, I'm super hyper aware of safety and security. And it's harder to protect my family, but it's easier than ever to sort of clear this and get my information off the internet finally. So that's why I personally recommend and chose Delete Me. Delete Me removes any personal information you don't want online and makes sure it stays offline. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people searches and databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you need deleted, and their experts simply take it from there. Delete Me sends regular personalized privacy reports showing what information they found and where they found it and what they have removed. So it's really not a one-time service. They're always working for you and constantly monitoring and removing personal information that you don't want there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private, people, by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for my listeners. So you can't ask better than this. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/uncut and use promo code uncut at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/uncut and enter the code uncut at checkout. joindeleteme.com/uncut. So what about, you know, young girls that might do some, or boys that do something silly in college, right? And then it leaks out. Can you erase this forever? Or, you know,
it depends on,
we're in the year of social media. You go to a party and something awful comes out.
Yeah. I mean, we've had many celebrities like this that may have been sick on a sofa at a house party back in 2006. Okay. And that photo's come out online and we've had to go and remove that. We've looked after many other people that have faced, like, you know, iCloud leaks that their nudes end up online. Now, obviously, can we say that this is removed from every dark corner of the internet? No, but what we can do is we can ensure that it's removed from the public, from the most public facing places on the internet. So your Google, your Bing, your front facing websites where everyone goes to search for this content. Because at the end of the day, right, say you have a picture that you don't like and you say, Frankie, we want to remove this picture that I don't like. We could go and get that out of the Google search. We could get it out of off certain websites. But say it's nestled deep in the dark web or deep in the deep web, it's not going to be a problem to you as long as it's not damaging your reputation on the surface. So I'm not saying that everything that this audience is facing can be removed. What I am saying is that invariably every image, video, search result that needs to be removed potentially can be removed from the public facing element, which allows them to get their reputation back, which allows them to get their life back.
I think that's very important, because I think my audience is a little bit, you know, I mean, if you're anything like me, I don't even know what, I mean, I heard of the dark web and the deep web, but I don't understand it at all and how you even get there, which is probably, and you know, and I think a lot of women are more sort of, will be worried about their kids in school, going to university, because one leaked bad picture can ruin their child's life for life.
Well, let's talk about a topic that your audience will fully understand that's in the current domain right now. We've got an epidemic of OnlyFans accounts being started. And everyone will understand that because whether you're a parent listening to this and you're worried about your daughter doing it, or whether you're a girl that's doing it, or whether you're a girl that's considering to do it, I'm sure you're all here right now. So it's best that we address that topic by sharing, just to give you, I've looked after some of the biggest removals for some of the biggest OnlyFans stars or however.
Can I just ask you, why are they removing? Because I thought OnlyFans was the whole point, was that you're in control.
So there's two types of clients in OnlyFans that want to remove content. One, the girls that regret doing the content in the first place and want to clean up their reputation because they realize down the track that yes, they may have made tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars doing OnlyFans, but yet when it comes to getting their life back on track, now they might be 28 years old, they want to get a bit more serious in life, they want to have a partner, they want to have a boyfriend, they realize maybe they were even a little bit talked into or a bit naive when they did it. They want to clean up their reputation because they may want to go into modeling in LA and they might not be able to access the type of modeling that they want to get into because of this content online. So what they're finding is the opportunities and doors are being shut because of previous decisions that they've made, and they want to be able to take their life back. So they come to us, they take their life back, we remove the content, and they can work again in something that more aligns with them than it did then.
You can remove an entire OnlyFans account?
Yes. Not only can we remove accounts, but we can remove the images and videos and the search results predicated on that content, which if you're a woman that's decided, hold on a minute, I've done this, I've earned my money, but now I want this gone, that's perfect for you because you don't want that to stop you from any future career possessions. And we were talking previously on my podcast before about how, you know, you really have to be careful, especially as a woman, especially as an entrepreneur who's going out into the world, how you make your money, because it can affect other deals down the track that you perhaps haven't even considered yet. So it's very important that when you go into, step into some world of OnlyFans, ask yourself a couple of questions. Am I going to get myself to the 0.1% of this? Because I need to be at the 0.1% of this because I need to make enough money to be able to not only be able to afford to clean this up if it's not the right decision for me, but I also need to be able to make enough money to sustain myself in case I can't get other work in other modeling or other things, because it may shut down your opportunities.
I think that's a really important point, because what happens is, I think, you know, with Instagram and all of these things, OnlyFans exploded, and then you saw these young girls going out and making millions of pounds and not really any of the downside, because it's like, well, you're in control, you're in your bedroom, you're making all this money on your own, you don't have to show anything. Well, I don't believe that. I think that, you know, the more relaxed you get with the people around you, get talked into things that probably you wouldn't normally. And because you are in your own bedroom, you probably get talked into things that you think are, you know, you're alone, because you forget that you're actually being watched by loads of people. And I think that we have a society today that is looking for always a quick fix. You know, we have created with Instagram that nobody wants to go to an office and do any work anymore. They want to be paid money for sitting at home. And that looks like such an easy way to do it. I've been reading about that other one. What's it called? The foot fetish one?
I don't know about this one, but I know there are foot fetish sites out there.
Yeah, I'm always laughing because, you know, obviously my feet are gorgeous. So
Sergio's got an account on there selling pictures for you.
I know. I'm going to learn to pick up some things with my toes. But, you know, and all jokes aside, all these young girls are promoting, because you get these ads on Instagram, that, you know, how much money they're making by sitting at home and essentially doing an hour or two's work, which sounds very glamorous to anyone who's sitting in an office for, you know, 14 hours or 12 hours in a day.
See, the reason why I wanted to talk about this topic on the podcast with you is because I see not just the content removal side of it, I see how it damages a woman's mental health as well. Because I speak to hundreds of women a year, thousands of women that have been through this at varying levels, whether it be revenge porn, whether it be OnlyFans gone wrong, or whether it be OnlyFans gone successful in terms of money that you've earned. But okay, what's the mental cost? The mental cost that I see as a man, which kind of hurts me because I have to sit there and listen to it and know that these women are hurting, is the fact of like, there's a lot of regret, a lot of pain that goes with this. There's a lot of women out there that look like they're successful on the outside. They've got the Louis Vuitton bags now and all this stuff predicated off doing this work, but they're really, the soul, how much has the soul been hurt behind that? What's behind the eyes? Well, I get to see that on a daily basis. And when you see that, you realize that even if you made $3 million out of OnlyFans, even if you did, congratulations, but the hurt behind the eyes of these women and how they feel taken advantage of. And can I just caveat this by saying that other women are selling other women these days on female empowerment by taking your clothes off on these platforms. Here's my issue with this. You see a lot of these successful creators that are earning this $3 million, but there are all the management agencies behind the scenes that manage these creators are all owned by men anyway. There's not many that I speak to that are owned by females looking after female creators. So even that leaves a negative connotation on that female because she believes that she has to sell herself for validation for men, that's how she makes money by linking the sale of this content to men. And then she believes she's controlled by men as well. Does a full feedback loop and it just damages that woman's relationship with money and with men as well. And it's and when you listen to it on the phone, you can just hear all the trauma, all the scarring, all the feeling of hurt and the abandonment in that. And that is the soul destroying thing for me, not just so much about removing the content, because we can all remove content. That's the easy part. How do I give this woman on this call her life back in terms of how she feels about herself internally? That's what worries me.
So that's what you've been doing really, or you're focusing now, when I saw with your podcast that you're helping people with changing their mindsets. Which is very much why, you know, you're here, because I believe very firmly as well that change your mindset, change your life.
If you can change how you view yourself, if you can change the respect that you give yourself and the way that you carry yourself, the question you want to ask yourself is, who do I have to become to step into the life that I want?
Yes.
That is the ultimate question.
But you see, what happens is, to step into the life you want from where you may be starting, people think, well, you've got to make money and fast. When you scroll Instagram, you don't see step one, step two. You see straight away
step 75
with the fast car, the money, and the big house. And you're like, well, that seems so far and so foreign from what I'm going to get. And I don't have that. And I don't have family and I don't have this. And so there's a million reasons. And this, then, you know, you're offered something like this and you can make the $3 million. But as you said, at what cost? And I think that's really, really important, because Instagram is not true. It's not the truth. You know, nobody wakes up suddenly rich like that. You know, there's been a few quick hits, like, you know, crypto and things, but there's more people that have lost money in crypto than made money in crypto. Yeah, that's 100%. For sure. I don't believe in any fast way to make money or any sort of light bulb moment that's just going to, you know, happen like that for you. You have to have the slog just to get the mentality to get it. And if you focus on the money, you'll never get the dream life. That's the problem, because they'll never have enough money.
I think you've got to really go back to what we were talking about before on my podcast, is essentially like, you've got to align what's your vision of your ultimate life and how do you want your life to look? Because a lot of these decisions where people have made that are wrong for them, say they've done OnlyFans and it's worked out wrong for them, say they've put images online and it's worked out wrong for them, the reason they did that at the time was because they lacked the vision of their North Star, so they didn't know where they were going. If you know where you are going, or you can get as clear on that as possible, as early as possible, everything else will fall into alignment on the path. And these things, these mistakes where you'll put content out on the internet and need to remove it, get removed, because it won't happen.
Well, I think that's what, you know, a really important thing we were discussing again, that vision boards aren't magic wands, but they kind of give you clarity, because if you know, cut out all your pictures and you see the life you want, then it's a little bit clearer on how you're going to get there. And if you have your soulmate or your team partner with you, you divide the work, you go together and you work for the same end game. You know, you, Frankie, as you said, you know, you travel the world all the time doing, you know, these podcasts, and you help so many, but you know, you're at a stage now too, where you're in your 30s and you need to sit now and sit. Because there comes a time where we all have a reckoning. This isn't, you know, just for one person having a bad day. Everybody wakes up and has a reckoning in their life where they go, okay, now what? Do I continue doing this life, which you love, of podcasting and going around the world? Or do you settle now, make a home for yourself where you can actually have your relationship and build this from here? Yeah. And it's a really hard decision. So, you know, how are you going to reconcile that yourself?
Me personally, I mean, I'm at a stage in my life now where I've been traveling around the world for the last 12, 14 months. And with this podcast, I started in Australia and then I've bounced it around the world and I've podcasted in Miami and in LA and Dubai and the UK and Portugal and everywhere else that the podcast has taken me. And I've been able to facilitate that with an online business that helps people as well, which is a great thing. But like you say, you get to this point in life and now at 35, I'm like, right, I need to figure out where my base is, because I've learned in my life that in order to launch a rocket, you need to launch it off a platform. You can't launch it off the sea. So if the waves are up and down and your life's up and down and you're living out of a suitcase, you can't launch that. So there'll be some people that listen to this podcast that'll be going, it's all right for Frankie, it's all right for Caroline because they're doing all this stuff. Well, it's not, is it? Because I'm experiencing right now in this moment, as you've just said, I've got to find a place that I can launch from. And I have to go now and be radically honest with myself. Okay, what do I want my life to look like exactly to the T, so that I can say, right, does that align with Dubai? Do I live in Miami? Do I live in London? Where does that align for me? And that is something I have to figure out. But the only way you figure that out is if you pause for a moment, like you said. I sit and reflect. That's going to take me 1 or 2 or 3 weeks. That's not going to come to me this afternoon. And then I'll figure out my path from there. But the most important thing is to pause and then look at the vision. Is that even my vision? I want to know, is that even my vision? Sometimes I've found in life that I've pursued visions, especially on this podcast journey in the early days, I've pursued visions of what other people are trying to do because you think, oh, they're doing it, so I'll do it.
100%. We all have, you know, we all look at other people and go, that's what you said. From the outside, everyone looks successful, more successful than you, because we're conditioned to look at other people and go, I want what they have.
Yeah.
We always have been, you know, not that I've arrived and everything's perfect. And I, you know, no one, I don't care who you are or where you are, ever feels like they've totally arrived. I don't think there's a billionaire sitting out there that feels like that either, by the way, which is very comforting to know that, you know, the hustle is what's so exciting in life. But to become, you know, we can all get to a stage where right now you have a great, very comfortable platform and a very comfortable life. But throw in kids, you know, school fees, whatever it is you're going to do, that looks like a different place. Yeah, you know,
if you put that into my life right now with the instability of the place, then it would blow my life to pieces. Mm-hmm. When you're living a life like this, it becomes hard to have the love and relationship. It becomes hard to, you know, even have a car, for argument's sake, because you can't, you're in different places. So when you're looking at those people on Instagram that are having this life where it looks like they're traveling around the world, which we are, and we're recording content for you to move you forward and to move ourselves forward, don't look at that from England and resent them. Don't look at them from Dubai and resent them. Don't look at them from anywhere and resent them, because the beauty of what you've got, if you're in one place right now, is you get to be grounded and dialed into your ultimate vision. And that is what you should be doing in this space that you're in right now, is grounding yourself in that vision and moving yourself forward.
Just make sure you don't become stuck, because a lot of people get used to a certain life. And sometimes you do have to not blow up your life, but move, you know, do crazy things.
Change
it up to get a different life. You know, if it's not working the way it is, move, and move now, because it is, I think, not being scared of what's the other side is one of the most important things. As you said, you know, for somebody else, you have moved around your entire life. So sitting still for a minute is quite scary, probably for you.
Well, I spent 26 years staying in the same position. Okay. So staying in the same area, same life before I started to move around. But I know that when you change your location, you change your life. I know that. The issue is you can change your location too many times, and then on the back of changing your location too many times, you've made this instability in your life as well. So there's a fine balance with it. If you're still in the same area that you grew up in and you don't feel the opportunities there, I would advise that person to book a one-way flight to a place that appeals to them and to challenge themselves and get in. But if you're a person that's doing really well where you are and you want to step out of your life, maybe ask yourself, am I looking to step out of my life because I want to travel and I want to expand, or am I trying to escape something I should be facing? Because there's another caveat to that. A lot of us, especially men, we don't like to admit it, but sometimes we're running away from ourselves. And it's important that we face ourselves where we need to be faced. I think in the early days when I went from England, I was running away from myself. It wasn't for a growth moment.
But you know, it's interesting because you said when I came in, you said you had a girlfriend that you felt also the pressure as a man. Automatically, you have to pay for everything, do everything for the woman.
Yeah.
Do you feel, I feel there's less of a pressure for that today on men, because I feel like there shouldn't be that. I feel like that, you know, if we're helping people today, that life looks very different to how it was traditionally back then. And as you said, booking a one-way ticket and changing your life is super exciting, because I did exactly that to here. I didn't know anyone. That takes balls, and it also takes confidence in sort of building and looking after yourself. I think men looking after women completely actually is a disaster for the woman and the man.
Potentially, but here's the environment I was brought up in. My mum and dad have been married for over 45 years, loving relationship. They've got the traditional roles. You know, she had a little part-time job, but he was the breadwinner. He had the company. He was earning the money in the house. But when you've seen that kind of roles and you've been taught that as a young guy growing up in England, the way that I was taught that, it's hard to see other perspective. Like, there's a lot of this, you know, people having open relationships and all this other weird stuff that's going on these days. And I don't sit well within that, because that's not the reality that I've seen and lived.
Yeah, but you're also looking at, you see, society's rules. Do I think that we've gone too far in some of them, and we've taken, you know, all the things that men held dear back then?
Yeah.
Probably. But there's a fine line. I don't, you know, relationships to get to whether they're open or the way they are, I'm not adverse to anything, you know, the way if people tell me that's what they want, only because I feel like what your parents have, they're unicorns today. You know, we have got to a stage where we're living till we're 100. How can you choose
and also they didn't grow up in an age where there's social media.
No.
There's greener grass and all these other sides. No. Like you've got to be really on your game to survive the relationship world these days, I feel.
Yeah.
And I also, it's really hard as a man that's in the pursuit of being his best self, like I am, especially in the podcast arena. When you're in that pursuit, it's really hard to have a girlfriend on the side, because it's like that's another thing that you have to focus on when you're trying to be when you have to be selfish.
But that's what you've just said, you see, because you put so much pressure on what you need to do for her instead of like just going, actually, I don't need to do as much. You know, she's here to just enhance my life too.
Yeah.
So we're together, so that it's not all on
it's
you.
It's an internal pressure. Yeah. It's an internal pressure, and it solely comes from the way that I was brought up as a man.
Yes. Yeah, so
and
we need to uncondition ourselves.
In certain things, I presume I'd like to relax the conditioning, but in terms of me opening a door for a woman, or in terms of me paying for a meal and certain things that I've been taught in life and certain values, I kind of want to stick to them.
100%. I'd still want my door held for me, and I wouldn't mind dinner paid for either. So, you know, I agree with all that, but I mean, I don't feel that it's not nice to buy you dinner too.
Yeah. And that is something I've found hard to accept, because I feel, I don't know why I feel this, but I feel kind of like, oh, I feel a bit like guilty. Like that's not really how I was brought up. It's all that kind of feeling. I'm sure you've met a lot of English people, a lot of English men that have been brought up similar to me.
Yeah, we're all repressed, and you know, difficult, because
there's an etiquette that we brought up.
Well, you're saying now, because your life isn't like that, and you're so crazy that you can't take that responsibility. So instead of relaxing your etiquette, you'd rather not have the relationship.
Yeah, but this is where it becomes another problem, isn't it? Because it can ruin things like that as well.
So I think it's just, you know, for people out there, it's like, you know, here we are preaching to other people and trying
about
to
how
help
to protect themselves online, whilst, you know,
we are, you know, and how to sort of be their best selves, change their mindset. But we still, you know, it doesn't mean that we're perfect.
There's certain elements of my life that I've nailed really well and got straight and got right. You know, I got my money right. I got my you know, I paid my mortgage off when I was 30. I've got other assets. There's so many things in my life that I've got right, but there's so many things in my life that I've got wrong. This is what I want you to understand. There's not one person that you can look at on Instagram, on the internet, or anywhere else you look at people and think that they've got it 100% sorted. And I'm not trying to sit here and say that I have it 100% sorted, but there's a few areas of my life that I'm proud to have boxed off, and there's certain areas I'm still trying to figure out. And this balancing of relationship, balancing of old ideas that perhaps need to go, and all this stuff is just a natural thing, I feel, for a 35-year-old man to be questioning right now because of what's going on in the world.
I think 1,000%. And I think that's so important, because actually pinpointing the things in your life that you do need to reassess, right? I mean, obviously open relationships and all of that. If you're looking at doing that at 35, I think you've got an issue. Or, you know, those kind of things, I think, you know, normally maybe 30 years down the line in a marriage, maybe, I don't know how it goes, but I'm not going to judge people, but
I'd question why your life is so boring at 35 that you need to have it open.
That's my point.
Do you know what I'm saying? Why are you so bored? What's not happening in your life to need that right now?
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's being able to identify the bits of your life that, as you said, you very clearly said what you know is working for you, and you very clearly understand what isn't. And that is a very nice place to be, because even if it's not there, you know you know what it is. You've identified it, and you know how you can fix it.
Well, the simple way that I approach these audits in my life is I have what I term as radical honesties, where I'll get a journal and I'll write who Frankie Lee is in this moment. This is just a conversation between me and my journal. So it's actually who I am, and I describe who I am in this moment. Okay. And then I write on this side of the page who I want to be, right? And then I look at the gap in the middle, and I think, okay, what in order to create this quantum leap that I need to go from this version of Frankie Lee to this version of Frankie Lee, what has to change? Who do I have to become? How do I have to dress? Who do I have to network with? Who do I have to be? What old ideas do I need to get rid of to get to close that gap? That is what I assess in that moment. That is between me and the journal. No one sees that other than me, but that is what I term as radical honesty. And if you're not doing that in your life, then you are at a severe disadvantage, because the most productive people and the best people in the world, whether they do it like that or not, they are doing some form of radical honesty in their life to close that gap. And they have to know what the gap is in order to close it. And you can't close it without it.
I absolutely love that. Radical honesty and a journal. I'm a big believer in writing things down, because if you can see where you're going, you'll get there. I also do believe in auditing yourself, because no one else is going to do this for you. No one. And, you know, it seems ridiculous to write these things down, but writing it and seeing it and reading it and believing it and changing it is, you know, all one. And absolutely, it's no one else is going to see this. You need to leave the ego behind. And, you know, I think that it's a very, very powerful tool to do that.
I tell you, one of the most powerful things that you can do, and I don't know what time of year this podcast is going to be released, but if it's released before the new year, even better. But one thing that I started doing is my friend Lucy Lord, she writes cookbooks, she lives in the UK, phenomenal author, phenomenal woman. She told me at the start of or end of last year, write a letter to yourself, you know, talking about how you've evolved and how proud you are for you've evolved. And I wrote this letter to my future self. Sounds woo-woo as anything. Sounds weird. I know most men that listen to this will think I'm off with it, but I wrote a letter to myself with how my life looked, with what I'm grateful for, with everything like that. And when I got sent this email a year later, it was mad what I'd achieved. It was like it had manifested that kind of life, because I'd written it ahead of time. And
what do you mean you got sent an email?
So basically, there's these platforms online where you can write a letter to yourself and it emails it to you a year later.
Stop it.
Yeah. And I can't figure the name of the website, but there's loads of these websites out there, probably like two or three platforms out there.
How would I search for it? What would it be called? Like email to myself?
Email to myself in a year's time. I don't know. Okay. Just search something like that on Google. But what I want you all to do is to write a letter to the future version of yourself. And when you write that letter, write it as if you've achieved everything and how proud you are and what you've done and this and the other. Write that letter. And when that letter lands at you, whether you select it for 1, 2.5, 5 years, whatever, when that letter lands and you will see for yourself, I cannot describe it to you, what you've achieved in comparison to what you wrote would be a mad, it's just mad. When you see it, it's mad.
You see, that's, well, you're emailing it away from yourself. And that's very, very clearly what I do, which is with the manifestation. And we've just bust the labels, one of our sponsors today, actually. And we have manifestation books, but that's exactly the book. But you're just emailing it to yourself and not looking at it. I absolutely write down everything that I want to achieve in the year in the present tense and pretend it's happened to me. So when people walk in, if you come to our house, you'll see it's in my bedroom and people think I'm absolutely nuts because it's embarrassing when people see it, but I just leave it there anyway because you have to look at it every day. But this is interesting. I'm going to try this because I'm looking for anything like this. I absolutely love things like this because one of the greatest things for me is coming to the end of the year and just ticking off things. And don't worry if some of the things haven't happened. And by the way, you can be very specific. And sometimes the one thing you really put on there that you wanted changes to something. You can roll it over to another year, but it might be a different place. It might be a different, but you're right. Just ticking it off and seeing it. And I love it.
Write your reality, your supposed future reality as if you're living that reality. Embody it, feel it, send it off. And when that comes back to you in a year's time and you really step into it, it gives you so much clarity on what you're doing. And I hope that adds a lot of value to you, all of you listening to this.
Thank you, Frankie. That was amazing. I am going to go and find that website because this is something I want to do with Sergio and we love all this woo-woo stuff. So thank you for coming on today. And I think that my listeners have got a great takeaway from you. How can everybody find you?
It's at Frankie Lee on Instagram. You'll find all the links to stuff like that. Or if you want to search the podcast, the Frankie Lee podcast, Frankie IE. And then, yep, I'm on all socials and you can find me there.
Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to another episode of Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury.
Thank you for listening. You can catch my new episode of my podcast every Wednesday. Please don't forget to follow so you don't miss any of the action. I want to hear from you, so leave me a rating and a review. Follow us on social for all the behind-the-scenes action and more information at Uncut and Uncensored by Caroline. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.